You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors on this final day of the trading week, and it's been a week. It's been an interesting week. It's been a week of rand strength. It's been a week of corporate interest, I think, and also up and down pieces of macroeconomic news from both South Africa and beyond our borders. With me now to describe the day and have a look back at the week with me is Greg Davies, the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. Greg, you had a lunch today, as always. Has it fortified you for our chat?
Yeah, you're normally on a Friday. Certainly, I like to. I've got a special bottle that I keep for Fridays like this after a hard working week. But I've looked everywhere under the desk. It's one of my traders must have made off with my tequila. But anyway, there'll be an investigation on Monday.
You've obviously got CCTV cameras and surveillance techniques, etc.
Yeah, I'm picturing something like the Zondo inquiry. We'll get each of the possible suspects up on the stand. Mm. Let them confess to their part in the wrongdoing. And if they've got a good story and if they can replace the bottle, then we'll let it slide.
I think what you do in this situation is, just like in the classroom, you say, right, the teacher used to say to us, right, who's ever taken the board rubber, the board eraser, I just want them to put it back. I'm going to go out the room and put it back and I won't take any further action. I think that's what you should do with your traders.
But you know what had happened to me when the teacher did that? I hadn't taken it, but in my mind, I thought that I had, that I would feel in my pocket and it would be there.
Yeah, okay, well, that's very peculiar, Greg. Can we get onto the market now, please? Let's have a look at the Stock Exchange News Service. It was very, very quiet this morning when we spoke on the opening, which is becoming more and more popular with a lot of your chat group members and fellow traders, by the way. I'm getting some very, very interesting emails and comments to say, you know, keep up the good work, which I appreciate.
Excellent.
But what have you got on the corporate announcements today? Anything on this quiet Friday?
A couple of sort of housekeeping ones. Anglo American doing a little bit of a share buyback. They did tell us about that. Glencore doing a share buyback. We did speak briefly about Labatt. They're giving more details on their new venture in the marijuana business. That stock finishing up 12%. Well, I mean, it's only 62 cents, but still a good run. We spoke about Infracentrics. Audited results as well this morning.
Yes, indeed. There's been Aspen Pharmacare. Now that the close period is out the way, now that results are released, there's been dealing in Aspen Securities. ShopRite also dealing in securities by an associate of a director, and they look, both of those look as though they're positive. So obviously you purchase this. Liberty 2 Degrees Limited, the property size of Liberty's operational update. Share price down 1.4% at the moment as on my delayed screen.
Yes, the share finishing only down 0.75% at R6.90. I suppose, you know, everyone that's reporting in the retail space, you know, obviously Liberty 2 Degrees, we've got Sandton City in their portfolio, and everyone's saying, you know, the retail space is really, really battling.
Blue Label Telecoms Limited, renewal of cautionary announcement, share price under pressure.
Yeah, it's an ongoing story, and you know, one hopes that there can be some positive outcome. I've obviously had the cautionary. What they'll have to do every 2 months is roll that cautionary over. I was just looking at my emails this morning. They are due to give us results Thursday, the 26th of September. Mm. So that's going to be interesting.
Yes, it really is. It's been a noisy share. I'm sure those fine fellows, those two brothers, have got some sort of plan, but at the moment they've sort of lost their way a little bit. Greg, I'm going to give you the spot prices as we...
Okay, great.
That'll give us a backdrop, as I always say, to the rest of our chat. And the Rand has been so, so good this last 4 or 5 days. And in fact, if you have a look at it, it's 100 basis points better than it was maybe 3 weeks ago when it went to 1550. It's currently, let's call it 1450, even though it's 1452 currently against the US dollar. Yeah. Against the British pound, it is 18.08, and against the euro, 16.08. And the euro dollar is 110.75, let's call it. The gold price? This isn't good. And we'll come to the gold shares, obviously, in a moment, because they've got clattered again today. This morning, 15.03. Today, 14.95, which is down $4 an ounce. Platinum is up 5 to 9.56. Palladium, Greg?
Yeah, palladium off yesterday's highs, down $18, trading right on 1600 on the nose.
1600, but I think if you'd said that a year ago, or even at the beginning of the year, you would have said, thank you very much, I'll bank that one. The Dow Jones is currently up about 60 points to 27,250, we'll call it. S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ up very slightly. Everything green on the international indices from Germany to France to what happened in the Far East this morning. So a nice end to the week after the ECB stimulus package. And nothing nasty from Mr. Trump, and no fresh tariffs or trade war spats, if you like.
Yes, I mean, that's the thing. His big tweets are normally Thursdays. We sat and analysed.
Oh, yeah.
It's normally Thursdays for whatever reason. Maybe it just gives us the weekend to think about it. But no big shocks there yet. And in general, overall, it's been been a good week on the JSE. You know, if obviously one's out of the golds and the platinums, but certainly the banks, financials, industrials, even the retailers a bit better. A bit of confidence coming back to the market. You can see it reflected in the rand. Some decent numbers over the last 2 weeks. So a slightly better feel to the market now we're in the sort of last half of the year.
Mr. Trump was actually very interesting because he was sitting next to Melania, who never looks happy when she's in the close proximity of her husband, or so-called husband, and they were talking about vaping, and he was quoted, it was a couple of days ago, and he was speaking quite sincerely about the dangers of vaping, and which has been a theme for the last two or three days with us and David Shapiro. But anyway, he said, my wife has a son, this, and you think to yourself, oh, well, what, by a previous marriage? But no, he was talking about his own son. And obviously people went a bit mad for this and sort of thought to themselves, well, he doesn't realize it's his son as well, which was unkind. But Mr. Trump, that's the only interesting thing I've seen come out of him this week, apart from the bonehead comment when referencing the U.S. Federal Reserve, who he wants to follow, the lead of Mario Draghi.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, the bonehead comment was classic Trump. Really, really. He's a really up to his game. He could certainly go into comedy or something after his presidency. But for sure, he's reshaping the way leaders behave, really. Taking a bit of getting used to. But yeah, he likes to put his foot in it every now and then. But, I mean, no worse than George Bush, certainly.
I can't compare the two. George Bush has read a book. Most viewed shares, Greg, on the sharenet.co.za opening page. I've got, with my delayed screen, Aspen, Steinhoff, Naspers, and Sebania. What have you got?
Yeah, the same. And, I mean, Aspen, I mean, let's talk about that for a minute, because it's quite an interesting sort of story. I mean, this morning the share price opened and it had a strong run at 100 Rand. Put in a high here. Let's have a look. 100 rand and 20 cents, and then finished the day at 94 rand 62. So when you often see patterns like that, and you and I were speaking about it with David yesterday, sometimes short sellers, and I've been short of a stock, and then when you finally cover the share, you end up paying the highest price certainly on the day. It's almost like choking out, kind of tapping out that they have in martial arts. When you finally throw the towel in, and then from then the share just pulled back to 94 rand, still had a tremendous week, tremendous move on the back of those results. But perhaps those short sellers have covered most of their stock, and we'll see the real price into the new week.
Greg, top five major moves to the upside. You can update me with your fancy screens, but I'm giving you my 15-minute delayed screen. I've got Hammerson up 6.75%. Investec PLC, this is interesting. The two Investecs doing really, really well. So the first three are all sort of London-linked. Investec PLC up 4.75%. Investec Limited up 4.25%. Fortress B up just over 4%. And Anglo-American PLC up 4% as well. Is it the pound? Is it Brexit? Have I missed something while I've been watching England versus Australia from the Oval?
Yeah, well, it was a story, just sort of a headline kind of story across the Bloomberg screens, saying this, Brexit, looking a little bit more positive, and someone put a comment there that, these UK-facing assets are looking quite cheap. Investec, I think, has got a pre-close announcement. I think I've got an invite in my inbox here, also towards the end of September. And overall, I mean, if you're an Investec shareholder, I mean, God bless them and everything, but the share price has done nothing for probably 5 or 6 years. It's hung around between sort of 85 and 100. So it's good to see that the stock back in demand. The other ones up there, Fortress, Yeah, looking a bit better on some nice volume today. 2 million shares, that's 21 million rands worth. Glencore, I think on that share buyback program, up 3.7%.
Okay. On the downside, now sit down if you're a gold investor because this could be unpleasant. Harmony down nearly 9%. AngloGold Ashanti down 8.2%. Goldfields a 7.5% loser. Sibanye down 7.1%. Ooh, that's got to hurt. And Massmart down 6.5%. Not a gold share, but also quite painful. We have to go through these trials and tribulations on the inevitable move to the stratosphere.
Yeah, Goldfields is the one which is the standout there, which actually was trading it quite actively yesterday. Mm. You had the ECB cut rates, and the gold price then rockets to 1520. Goldfields has spent the whole morning around 73, shot straight to 77. That was the high we had put in yesterday. To see it all the way back at 68.30. By the end of the day. So there must be some casualties there. I'm looking at the day chart, intraday chart. It's real. It looks really like it's breaking down. And for some reason, that was one that hit more aggressively than the others. It's probably the more liquid. Sibanye, it's also disappointing back at 1661. And I suppose, gold price lower, platinum looking a bit flat, the rand quite strong.
Yeah.
And we kind of always, us gold bulls, always say, don't worry, we'll wait until the US market opens and then we'll get the right price for gold. And it actually was lower in the U.S. space. I can actually see where your Goldfields is at 67.56 in the U.S., so a little bit lower. Sibanye, it's around 16.76. Mm. So still just trading water, really, Sibanye. I'll have to look at some technicals on the weekend.
Yes, you will. And I'll send you Liston Mainchi's technicals. In fact, I'll put them up on the site because his charts are subliminally simplistic, because you can actually understand.
Brilliant.
It says buy, sell, or just nothing going on. Really, really good. Instead of all these Bollinger Bands and RSIs and everything
you
else.
You need that.
Yeah, you do need it.
Certainly, if you're going to trade gold shares, you have to spend at least 30% of your time looking at the technicals. Because they're so tradable, you need to know the levels. You need to know how quickly the shares have gone up. Basically, it's always just an overbought, oversold game. With gold shares.
Greg, should we do the social stuff after the indices? Yeah, let's do that. Give me the JSE indices so we can talk about our weekends.
Sure. The banks up 1.9%, financials up 1.65%. So both solidly in the green. Industrials up 0.12%, retailers up at nearly a third. Gold shares, this is the worst day we've seen in quite some time. Down 8.76%. Oh. Platinum's doing their bit down there, down 2.3%. Resources up 0.63, and that left the all share up 0.60, up 342 points, 57,124. Probably the worst turnover since the Nasdaq split, $19.5 billion.
Okay, that's interesting. Greg, you are the digger. So what have you dug up outside of the shares that we've already mentioned? Was there anything else under the radar?
Don't need to give the same digging each time, but again, Mr. Price, which actually had a rally this morning. The last 20 minutes, half an hour of trade, share coming under pressure again, closing at 168. It's only down 0.5%, but on quite big volume. And a little bit of murmurs going around the market on why the share's been under pressure this week. Sort of peaked this week was around 176, finished the week at 168, while the rest of the retailers were positive most of the week. Wonder what's brewing there.
I wonder what it is. Greg, let me start from this morning. I was reading the telegraph.co.uk, which I habitually do, even though they have these premium articles, which I can't afford to subscribe to, and I refuse to because The Guardian in the UK doesn't have this.
Can't stand those paywalls. Shouldn't be allowed,
It's disgraceful that people need to make a living. How dare they? But anyway, there was one that wasn't behind the paywall, and it was an obituary. And the obituary was for a woman called Patricia Cavendish O'Neill. Now, Patricia Cavendish O'Neill came from a different era, Greg. Her mother was part of the White Mischief set in Kenya, and she was considered the most beautiful woman in the world at the time in the 1930s. And she spawned this child called Patricia. And long story short, because you can listen to the interview, 8 years ago, I was alerted to this woman's presence in South Africa by a woman from the Sunday Times by the name of Lynn Sampson, a very good journalist at that used-to-be fine newspaper, not anymore, of course. So I drove off to Somerset West to her farm. Now, she told me stories about the fact that when she moved to Somerset West from Kenya, she could ride her horse down from Somerset West, where she lived on a small hill, down to the Strand and ride her horse on the beach and all that sort of thing. There was no end to as an encumbrance, and there were animals roaming around and all that sort of thing. And she was 85 at the time. And I sat there fascinated. In fact, I went there with my sound engineer, Wesley Lewis, and we dug out the interview today because the obituary in the Telegraph may be rather sad. She died on June the 11th, aged 93.
I'm just Googling her. Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah. She wrote two books, one called A Lion in the Bedroom, the other one called A Chimpanzee in the Wine Cellar. She was absolutely mad about animals and mostly mad as well. So have a listen to my tribute to her, which I dug up from the Fine Music Radio archives. It's up there. And yes, it just tells you of an era. I don't know if it was simpler than the times we live in now, but certainly more enjoyable from what I can understand. They were very naughty. They make us look like monks.
Yeah, it's lovely to have something like that. And I'm reading here, they just lived in such a fascinating world, a simpler world, but just a wonderful thing. I'm reading here, obviously, it's got a picture with a pet chimp here on the Telegraph's photographs. And what was it, giant Doberman, I think it's sitting on the back of her chair.
She had 50 cats and 30 dogs when I was there, chimpanzees, birds of all sorts of descriptions. And she would just get donations from people to feed these things because she was down and out by then because she'd been ripped off by swindlers in South Africa. And it sounds like a familiar story. But anyways, she was lovely. And I spent many, many hours with her, and I miss her already. Now, Greg, my quote of the day, my previous quote was associated with a film genre that I like, and that's the Western. And it was called The Quick and the Dead with Sharon Stone and Gene Hackman and Leonardo DiCaprio. But I've gone back even further now, and I'm going back to The Outlaw Josie Wells with Clint Eastwood. Have you seen that?
Probably have.
Okay, I'll give you two quotes from it. Josie Wells was a man who was on a revenge mission, if you like. It was almost like vigilante. Okay, there's two quotes from this film. It says here, and you'll like this because you're inspirational thing. Now remember, Josie Wells says, when things look bad and it looks like you're not going to make it, then you've got to get mean. I mean, plumb mad dog mean. Because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win. That's just the way it is. So that was him. But then the one I really like is when he met this Native American. His name is Ten Bears. And they formed a friendship as they're going on their travels across the Midwest of the United States. Ten Bears says the following, and this applies to Trump. It's sad that governments are chiefed by the double tongues. No signed paper can hold the iron. It must come from men. And when I look at Donald Trump, he's not a man. He's a double tongue.
Yeah, I don't know. I think we're going to be having this debate for many, many years. But I'd really honestly believe 10, 15, 20 years' time, we're going to pine for someone like Donald Trump.
I pine for Ten Bears and Josie Wells, actually. Greg Davies is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital. That was the 5 o'clock shadow. Greg will be back with us on Monday for the opening. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.